Hey guys, it's Jordana and welcome back to the Mindful Method podcast. I have a very exciting episode planned for you today. And so sit back, relax, very on theme for the podcast episode, and just enjoy yourself because I'm going to take you on a journey and we're really going to talk about my top recommendations to manage stress and why adaptogens like ashwagandha or rhodiola are just simply not the answer.
Welcome to the Head to Heal podcast, where you'll go head over heels learning about how the body and the brain work together to either feed disease or fight it. I'm your host, Jordana Sade, certified holistic nutritionist and founder of the Mindful Clinic. With a background in nutrition, behavioral neuropsychology, and hypnosis, I'm going to walk you through the root cause of your symptoms and disordered behaviors. The body has an innate ability to heal. No one is destined for illness, and most, if not all, disorders can be reversed. Come with me as we develop a new understanding of how you can use your head to heal and truly thrive.
Okay, so to preface all of this, I really want to talk about something that's super, super trendy in the wellness world right now, and it's adrenal fatigue. I can't tell you how many times I'm scrolling on Instagram or TikTok and it's like, adrenal fatigue, you're in burnout, adrenal fatigue, blah, 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 adrenals, adrenals, adrenals. I'm like, okay, if I hear this one more time, I'm actually going to blow my fucking brains out. Because yes, if we're going to talk about stress, we have to talk about the adrenal glands for sure. So the adrenal glands are these organs. They're like little triangle. They're very small, little triangle organs that are attached to the top of your kidneys. And these organs, the adrenal glands, are responsible for releasing our stress hormones, like cortisol and epinephrine and DHEA and just a bunch of other hormones that are related to the stress response. And so when we talk about, you know, burnout or adrenal fatigue, most people are really talking about how the adrenal glands become overworked and can no longer meet the needs that the body is experiencing. But the question is why and how, you know? Because even deeper than that, what governs the adrenal glands? Like, they are not independently conscious. They don't have a mind of their own. They are literally governed by an elaborate nervous system, right? And that nervous system is the thing that provokes them to release specific hormones. So really what we should be addressing is not the adrenal glands, it's really the nervous system. It's the system that continues to send a signal to the adrenal glands to release the excess stress hormones when the reality is we're very, very, very rarely in actual immediate danger. If we ever were, we definitely want this process to be functional. If you're ever running away from danger or, you know, you're driving and somebody cuts you off, you want to be able to react. And of course, stress hormones are going to go high and your parasympathetic nervous system or the autonomic nervous system is going to just totally take over and take you out of danger zone. However, if this is going on all day long, I don't know what to wear, I'm going to be late for work, what is that person thinking about me? The body does become fatigued. And rather than focusing on the adrenal glands, the system that's really important here is the nervous system. And of course, like, I'm just gonna preface this, spoiler alert, it's different for everybody. So make sure you actually work with a licensed practitioner if you're dealing with high levels of stress for your own safety and sanity. But let me tell you what I see in my practice and actually what I experienced myself. So when I was diagnosed with myalgic encephalomyelitis, which is just a very fancy word, a Western medicine fancy word for deep, deep, deep adrenal fatigue and burnout, I saw dozens of health practitioners. I was already a new holistic nutritionist at the time. I saw naturopaths, I saw homeopaths, I saw iridologists. I literally spent thousands and thousands of dollars seeing everybody all over Canada and even in the States. And I was on every adaptogen you can name: rhodiola, ashwagandha, maca, ginseng. These are just to name a few. I was even actually also on Cortef, which is a prescription, like a medical prescription, a Western medicine prescription for cortisol. Like, that's how messed up my cortisol was. Because what happens is, and we can see this in the Dutch test very clearly, the hormone test we run in our practice. But what happens is, you know, when we go through stressful situations, we all do, you know, whether it's a breakup or, you know, somebody's sick or just even financial stress, whatever it is, like, cortisol and adrenaline and all those fun hormones should really increase, right? Like, that is very normal. But eventually, it should decrease and then you should go back to baseline, or the rest and digest, or the parasympathetic nervous system should really kick in. And unfortunately, when we have chronic stress, so long-term stress, if cortisol and epinephrine and norepinephrine and adrenaline are high for too long, the body gets really tired and they start to flatline. So in a typical day, it's actually very normal for when we wake up for cortisol to spike and then for it to go down and pretty much be non-existent for when we sleep. Now, when we have chronic stress, what we start to see is we stop seeing the peak in the beginning of the day, and we just start to see cortisol start to flatline. Once we're in a flatline place, like we're in burnout, you're probably going to feel like shit. You're going to have brain fog all day. You might even start to notice that cortisol will start to increase before bed. So I see that a lot. So you might feel like shit all day, so exhausted. And then like 9 p.m., you could run a marathon. And there's so many different variations of what could happen. Of course, if you want to know your specific variation and how to treat it effectively, just run the Dutch test. We do it in our practice. It's one of the most incredible tests I could ever recommend. It also is done through urine. So I saw many endocrinologists and they always tested my hormones through my blood, but hormones really shouldn't be in the blood. They should be bound to organs, right? They shouldn't be in the blood for too long. So when we're doing the Dutch test, we're using urine. So we're testing for the metabolites. And this is really effective because it doesn't just tell me about your levels of these hormones, but it tells me how they're detoxing, how they're metabolizing. Are they going through the right pathways? Super cool. But when I was diagnosed with myalgic encephalomyelitis and POTS and all of these fun things, I was on all these different adaptogens, and these herbs are fantastic. Like, I'm not here to knock ashwagandha because somebody will come at my door and kill me probably. However, adaptogens are really designed to develop endurance in the adrenal glands long-term. So it's almost like, rather than learning how to sprint, adaptogens are teaching the adrenal glands to like run a very slow and steady marathon. It's developing endurance. It's like strengthening the muscle. So if you're going through something that's like immediately stressful, taking an adaptogen might help a little bit, but ultimately you're not going to see that benefit until many weeks or even months down the road for the adrenal glands to get stronger and stronger and stronger. It's kind of like you're not lifting a 50-pound weight by taking an adaptogen and trying to build the muscle. You're lifting like a 5-pound weight over and over and over again, so that those adrenal gland muscles get bigger. And they're great. However, when we're overstimulated or when we have like long-term chronic stress, like I said, the adrenal glands aren't like independently conscious. They're not the ones producing the stress. It's the nervous system. And the adaptogens don't really work very effectively on the nervous system. Then we're looking at nervine herbs, that's a whole different topic. But these poor adaptogens are going to be working overtime just to like try and balance out or compensate the signal that's coming from a different part of the body. And so eventually what you'll see is you'll start to feel a little bit better when you take an adaptogen like ashwagandha. I was like, oh my God, it's amazing. I'm starting to get my endurance back. I can even just exercise again. And then after a week or two, you're just like back in fatigue. And it's like, what the fuck is going on here? We're not really addressing the right system. Or it's almost like you have a fire alarm that keeps going off. And rather than taking the batteries out, like we need to just deal with the fucking fire, you know? So when we're taking the adaptogen, it's kind of like we hear the alarm going off, and rather than dealing with the fire, the actual problem, we're just taking the batteries out, putting a new pair of batteries in, taking the batteries out, putting a new pair of batteries in, and the fire's still going this whole time. Got what I mean? So your nervous system, and specifically different parts of the brain, is where the stress response actually begins. So the brain is going to sense stress, and this can happen internally. And so, you know, internal infections, stressful thoughts, rumination, worry, pathogens, etc., or brain inflammation, or it can happen externally. So that example of, you know, you're driving and somebody cuts you off, it's happening outside of you and you need to respond immediately. But there is a trigger, there's a stimulus. Then the hypothalamus is going to release something called CRH or corticotropin. Well, it's corticotropin releasing hormone. Corticotropin releasing hormone is going to hit the pituitary. It's going to go in the bloodstream, go to the pituitary. The pituitary is going to pick it up and release something called ACTH. So this is adrenocorticotropic hormone. Adrenocorticotropic hormone or ACTH, is going to get released into the bloodstream, and it's going to bind the cells in the adrenal glands. And then the adrenal glands are going to release cortisol, adrenaline, norepinephrine, etc. So rather than trying to lower cortisol from the adrenal glands, like, why aren't we dealing with ACTH? Why aren't we dealing with CRH? You know, it's like, even if we're lowering cortisol, we're still filling up the cup. Or another really good visual for this is, like, you have a cup, but it has holes in the bottom, and you keep trying to fill up the cup, but, like, the water keeps escaping because we're just not dealing with the right hormones. We're not dealing with the right part of the body that creates the stress response. Okay. So there are many, many, many other circumstances. Like, I mean, obviously the whole endocrine system, which is just your hormonal system, is very complex, and we would be here all day. But for the purposes of general understanding, I've oversimplified it. I'm going to repeat it. The hypothalamus picks up a stress response that comes from a trigger. So the trigger can be internal, like a pathogen or rumination, like a stressful thought, or it can be external, like somebody cutting you off and you have to respond. It's like something happening outside of you. It's going to release CRH. CRH is going to bind to the pituitary. The pituitary is then going to release ACTH, and ACTH is going to go in the bloodstream and bind to the adrenal glands. Once the adrenal glands get this message, they're going to release cortisol, whatever they need to do. So really, we either need to work on the stimulus, the trigger, so the thoughts, the worry thoughts, the rumination, the underlying pathogens that keep the stress response going all the time, or your environment. So, you know, if you're living with, like, somebody who's abusing you, like, of course, that's external, and it's going to affect internal things too, like your thoughts and your perception of fear. And so, like, if we don't, we can either deal with it in that way, where we're changing the environment or changing the internal thoughts, getting rid of the pathogens, et cetera, so that the brain stops sending that signal, or we need to calm down the hypothalamus and pituitary function so that they stop sending signals to the adrenals to freak the fuck out when there's nothing wrong. And hopefully in that last example that I gave you, you guys can differentiate and make it quite clear that, okay, let's say we are, worst case scenario, living with somebody who's abusing us, like, working on the pituitary is not the answer. Like, we have to change the environment, or else it, you know, the body is designed to do this. It's designed to protect ourselves. Of course, it's going to send a stress response, right? But if we have a seemingly okay environment, you know, I mean, everybody I work with is, like, usually high functioning, busy mom. So there's many stressors in the day that can happen. But we want to build up a resiliency to them as long as they aren't actually putting us in danger. So getting my kids ready for school should not be putting me in danger, right? And if I feel like I'm so stressed out through these processes, imagine what my kids are feeling, because their nervous system is actually wiring at this point, especially between the ages of, like, 0 and 7. And so if I'm all heightened and, like, I'm getting the stress response and I'm yelling and I'm rushing them, then they're learning, their nervous system is wiring to that same type of stress. And then that's when we start to see things like self-soothing and coping mechanisms and addictions and low self-worth and stuff happening in their teenage and adult lives. But I digress, so let's come back. So we either need to work on the environment, internal or external triggers, or we need to, if those things are fine, we need to chill out the hypothalamus and the pituitary function. When I started managing my adrenal fatigue, in quotations, from a root cause perspective and targeting the actual nervous system, everything got so much better. Because what would happen is, you know, I would take the adaptogen for a few months and then I would feel better. And then after a couple of weeks, it would just not, like, I'd be back in that same place. And, you know, at that time in my life, yes, there were pathogens, and yes, there were things that I was doing externally, like pushing myself too hard at the gym or whatever, that was keeping this stress response alive and active. However, I was never in immediate danger, ever. You know? And so, but my body every day kept playing a message that I was. And so eventually I just crashed. So when we're running the Dutch test in my programs, we can see really clearly if it's just the adrenal glands that we need to target, or if we need to really look at the nervous system as a whole. So if you're all unsure, just always test, don't guess. But my issues, and honestly, 9 times out of 10, what I see in my practice is it's usually coming from the nervous system. And so when I hear people say like, adrenal fatigue, I'm just like, roll my eyes, want to die, because it's not really the adrenal's fault. Like, let's not blame the messenger, you know, we're like, let's target the actual root cause. So when these hormonal systems start breaking down, you might see things, and this is definitely from my experience and what I see in my practice, but you might like lose your period. That's happened to me many, many times. Or, you know, get irregular cycles if you're not losing your period. They might become heavier. They might become more crampy. They might have more blood clots, like just any type of period dysregulation. Your moods are going to be all over the place. So you might feel more irritable. You might be like on the verge of tears all the time, or you could, and then swing to like completely elated. You're definitely going to feel very, very tired and fatigued. And you might notice that that will like shift throughout the day. So there, like I said, there might be times of the day where you feel a little bit like you have more energy. And usually when I start to see the cortisol becoming dysregulated, it's like the beginning part of the day is really difficult. And then around 9 p.m., we start to get that kind of second wind, or for some people, it's around like 4 p.m., we get that second wind and we feel totally normal. But you're definitely also going to feel things like brain fog, like your memory recall is not going to be great. You're just going to feel like foggy and not fully sharp. And yeah, there's many, many, many other symptoms, but one of them that I want to highlight, obviously, because this is my niche and what I look into daily, but like the poor thyroid is going to take a hit. And like, that's the last thing that we want. Fucking last thing we need is for the thyroid to swing into hypothyroid or hyperthyroid and gain weight or lose weight too quickly and feel really crappy about our body image as well, you know? And so all of the symptoms that I just named, plus millions and millions and millions more, very clearly are triggered or provoked from the endocrine system, right? Hormones kind of run the show here. So it's not, if the adrenal glands are being affected, if the nervous system is being affected, like for sure your ovaries are, for sure your thyroid is, for sure your hypothalamus and thalamus are, you might, you know, not get sick at all. So when I have clients that tell me I never get sick, I'm like, that's a big fucking red flag. That means your immune system is like on high alert all the time. Or if you just keep getting sick, it's like the immune system's so depressed, right? So anyways, it's not just the adrenal glands, it's the entire endocrine system that does get affected. And this is really all starting from the hypothalamus and the pituitary, the anterior pituitary and posterior pituitary. Hopefully you guys are still with me thus far. Hi babes, I am so excited to talk to you about my signature program, The Mindful Method. This is the exact same method that I have been using with hundreds of successful clients to help you heal your relationship to food, to increase confidence, and to lose weight without dieting or killing yourself at the gym. If you're sick of not feeling like your best self, if you're sick of promising yourself that you'll start again on Monday, if you're sick of going on restrictive diets only to gain back the weight, I can tell you right now that if you gained it back, it did not work. You know what's healthy and what's not. You do. You just continue to choose the unhealthy option anyways. And a meal plan will not solve this issue. There is no amount of restriction or discipline or willpower that is going to stop you from self-sabotaging. The body follows the mind. Imagine a life where you don't have to think about what you can or can't eat. Imagine a life where you feel confident in all of your clothes, where every day and every way your body rebalances and you lose all of the weight so you find the truest, healthiest version of yourself. Imagine never having to start again on Monday. This is what happens when you focus on transforming the brain so weight loss is effortless. The body follows the mind, and it's time you actually get to the root cause of your issue. If you are ready to transform and find the truest, healthiest version of you without letting go of your favorite foods, I invite you to fill out the application in my bio. And if you're a good fit, we'll be in touch soon. Back to regular programming. So as I navigate what I can only describe as one of the most stressful times in my life right now, this is why I'm recording this, and desperately attempt to avoid burnout at this stage, I'm going to tell you some of the things that I'm taking and I'm doing to support myself because I think you guys can benefit as well. So the first thing is lifestyle stuff. I don't want to overlook this. I don't want to just jump to the supplements, although I am going to be telling you about my favorite supplements that I'm taking right now. But the first thing is, you know, daily movement. From a lifestyle perspective, it's a non-negotiable for me. The times that I don't move in the day are like the weekends. I don't always go to a Pilates class or go for a walk because I'm just busy with the kids. And I really, you know, I take so much time away from them during the week with my business. So, and also just like self-care. So I really want to be intentional with them at that time. But 5 to 6 days out of the week, I'm at morning Pilates. I don't even sweat anymore. Like I'm barely working, I feel, but it's even just going there to stretch, move my body, create that mind-body connection, like really ground into myself. So daily movement is a non-negotiable. We are bipedal human beings. We're designed to hunt and gather. You have to move, okay? The second is daily meditation. So this is actually something that I started doing this year. I mean, I've always meditated. I've meditated for the past year, not always. But I just got really serious about it after I took a meditation course and have had my healers tell me over and over and over and over again that I need to do it. So I meditate daily. I try and do at least 10 minutes. It's usually more like 30 to 40 minutes. Sometimes I put on a meditation track. Sometimes I'm just completely silent and I use transcendental meditation. So I'll just focus on one specific thing and bring my attention back using mindfulness and concentration and all those things. But being with myself in silence or just calming down the mind for a period of time is really, really important for the nervous system. The other thing that I'm doing from a lifestyle perspective is I'm letting go of people and situations that are clear, repeated offenders to my stress system. Yeah, repeated offenders, okay? Unfortunately, we can't get rid of our kids. I said what I said. It's not an option, you know? And so all of the other people that repeatedly offend you or repeatedly cause stress in your life, like they gotta go. You know, I don't know how old you are when you're listening to this, but I do know the majority of my market is really like 30 plus, right? I think my oldest client is 90 and most of the people who listen to me are like in their late 30s, early 40s. But if you are 30 and above, and like if even in your 40s, and you're still fucking with people that cause you stress, like what are you doing? Okay. You're not 20 anymore. You're not like a spring chick trying to like figure out your, you know, like trying to gain affection. Like, at this point, you really need to get serious about what kind of life you want to experience. You get one of them. Life's too short. You have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. And if you spend your entire life surrounding yourself with people that cause you stress, like what the fuck are we doing? You know? So I've gotten really, really serious about this and in a very difficult way. It's actually part of why I'm going through so much stress right now. That and good stress, like big changes in the business and the TED Talk, like they're all really good things. And I don't want to villainize them. I'm excited about it. But this one's hard, you know, letting go of friends, relationships, partners, husbands, whatever it is, right? That are just continually hitting the same nerve and it's just not getting better. It's like at a certain point, you got to wake up and smell the hummus. Like you got to wake up and realize like you're the only person that can govern your experience. And so anyways, letting go of those people and situations are really important. And it's so interesting. I don't know what has happened this year, but I know celestially there's a lot of shit going on. But I can't tell you how many of my clients have been in long-term relationships and just like broken up with them or are going through divorces or separations or whatever it is. There's like something in the air for sure. So anyways, don't be afraid because if a situation is not working for you, it doesn't mean that it won't in the future. But certainly, whether it's a friend or relationship, whatever it is, as the way that things are currently going is not working. So something needs to change and you need to start putting yourself first. And that is the last thing I will say about that. So what this looks like is just having less or no contact with people who are not making my life easier. So, you know, like similar, very similar to my children, my mother stresses me out so much and I love her and I don't want to not talk to her. So we're just like reducing exposure for some people. But I also want you to think about people that you have a hard time not people pleasing. There are some people in my life that I really look up to that I like them so much and I want them to like me so much that I'm willing very easily to just like put my own needs aside and just tend to them. And like that can't happen when your nervous system is all over the place because the body needs to feel safe. And so we really need to set the intention and we need to send your body the message that like it comes first, it can trust you, you are safe, etc. Okay? And that's actually the last thing I'm going to say about that. Okay. The next thing I'm doing from a lifestyle perspective is I'm listening to music that lights me up. And, you know, for me, it's like it's either Eminem or classical. Like I'm listening to a lot of like 90s R&B, a lot of Destiny's Child, a lot of Independent Woman vibes, a lot of Spice Girls, and just things that make me feel really alive and free. And I think that, well, not I think, I know, music in itself is just healing for the brain. So when my nervous system is really overstimulated, it's always going to be classical music that I go to. And I love Ludovico Einaudi. He's Italian. He's incredible. Everything he produces is amazing. So anyways, I'll definitely utilize that. And there are some days that I have so much anxiety when I wake up in the morning, especially lately, that, and I can see the cortisol starting to dip too, because I get like brain fog and whatever. And I'm like, if I just put on actually classical music, all of a sudden it almost takes the onus or the control away that my brain's trying to gather, and it just goes with the flow of the music. And so I have so much more energy and I feel so much more aligned and my mood increases. So don't underestimate that one. The other thing is I'm really, really trying hard not to avoid the small stuff that causes me stress. And so, you know, it's kind of like a barter thing. It's like, okay, so if I experience this like thing that I'm avoiding that feels stressful, it's actually going to save me from long-term stress, because the more that we avoid shit, the more it comes up from our subconscious to be resolved. So simple things like looking at my money every day or balancing my checkbook every day like has actually reduced so much stress in my life. And I'm so grateful for that habit. And the last thing is, and I never thought I would say this truly, but just like straight up, I'm praying, like praying to God and the universe for inner peace. So whatever you believe in, like whatever your kind of external support system is, I feel that having a sense of faith that you're just not doing this alone, if it's like guides or angels or goddesses or God or the universe, whatever it is, knowing that you're not alone and knowing that you're always supported and protected, I think is so important. And when I was really starting to heal my nervous system from my actual adrenal crash, spirituality and just even like pulling tarot cards daily was a huge part of what helped me to get over that hump. Because if you feel like it's you and you alone, that's so much pressure you're putting on yourself, you know? Okay. From a supplement perspective, and actually I'm bringing all of these to Montreal as I leave in 2 days. Oh my God, freaking out. When you listen to this, it might be, the TED Talk might already be done, but, and then we'll talk about crash and burnout. Just kidding. It's not going to happen. So from a supplement perspective, I'm taking a bunch of new ones that I'm really enjoying. So the first one is, it's from Plant of Life and it's called Digest, and it's got CBD and CBN in it. And, you know, I take CBD and stuff all the time, but this is really different because I'm somebody who struggles with what the doctors would call IBS, or literally chronic constipation. I never have the loose stool part of IBS, but it really is still the same parts of the nervous system that deal with it. But there is a very, very deep connection in the parasympathetic nervous system that obviously connects our gut and our brain. And so when I'm stressed, I'll speak for myself and a lot of my clients, but when I'm stressed, I don't go to the bathroom. Like, I have to pretty much have a very chill morning and like follow a very specific schedule in order for those bowels to come. If I wake up late and I run out the door, I'm not pooping, and I might not poop for like weeks. And it's the worst because then I feel bloated and then I start getting gas and then I don't like anything that I wear. And it's just like this more stress comes from it, right? So the reason why I love this one, it's from Plant of Life, it's called Digest, is because it's working on the digestive system. So it has chaga in it. So it's definitely supporting your digestion and helping your body to, you know, extract nutrients. And it's chaga in itself is very nutritious. But the CBD and the CBN are targeting that gut-brain connection. So if you're somebody that struggles with like IBS or constipation or whatever, or maybe you're just so stressed that like you don't digest your food properly, so everything makes you bloated, this is a really good one. And if you were in my practice, like obviously this isn't the only thing for digestion, so I don't want you to think like magic pill vibes, but from a stress and going to the bathroom type of situation, I love it so far. The second thing, super rudimentary, but I have to mention, like, I'm obviously taking magnesium. All women really should be. Everyone really should be. I prefer magnesium 3-8 because it's specific for the nervous system, better than a citrate or bisglycinate or even a malate. I've also been taking Element, so LMNT, that brand. I love them. I'm taking their electrolytes, and they're so good. They're so salty, but they're delicious because it really is not just magnesium that we need for the stress response. And you know, when we work together in the practice, one of the things I ask you in your intake form is, do you prefer salty or sweet? And when the adrenal glands or the adrenal system or the nervous system, when the stress response is really denatured, people will really start to crave salt. And so we need the good types of salt too. And other minerals as well, potassium, so like sodium, potassium, magnesium, we need like phosphorus. We need a whole bunch of minerals for that stress response to really function properly. So I'm doing that as well. The third is E-manganese. This is a surprising one and it's not a very well-known one. So I will say, please work with a practitioner before you go and buy it. I don't even know if you can because it's standard process, which is a professional line. So, but if you don't need it, it can definitely do more damage. So like, don't fuck with it unless you know you should. But for me, it's been like so game changer. And I know that my clients that are on it love it as well. But E-manganese is a supplement by Standard Process that has pituitary gland in it. So it's a glandular with pituitary gland and manganese. Manganese is a mineral that gets so overlooked. I remember reading about it when I was in, or learning about it when I was studying nutrition. And again, super related to the stress response. But why this one is important is because remember, it's the pituitary that's like kind of the thermostat for all of your hormones. So the pituitary really sends that signal to the entire hormonal network. And this is why getting light first thing in the morning, like we're stimulating the pituitary and the suprachiasmatic nucleus, which is sending a signal to the rest of the body. So for me, like I don't really work on the hypothalamus as much. There are very specific circumstances that I would. For example, if you're somebody who gets like night sweats during your period, you might take like a hypothalamus support, usually in a homeopathic for a short period of time, because I don't love giving hormones or like messing with the system. But E-manganese is definitely a staple in my protocol, my personal protocol. And if it's right for you, what it's going to do is it's going to reset your entire endocrine system. So it's good for your thyroid, your ovaries, your stress response, of course, and it's just helping to build resiliency and it's helping the pituitary to become a little bit stronger so that, you know, when you're picking your clothes to go out, it doesn't think like we're running away from a bear, you know? Okay. And the last one is L-theanine. I think I've talked about this one before, but I'm doing it in a very different way this time because I'm still a child, but I'm doing it in a gummy form. And I really, really love this gummy. It's by Suzu. And it's not just L-theanine, it's L-theanine, GABA, and lemon balm. And the reason why I like this one, so this is what we would call lemon balm specifically, is what we would call a nervine herb. So when we are in acute stress, so like something stressful just happened and I can't turn the stress response off, we really want to be addressing the nervous system, not the adrenal glands. Like the adrenal glands love the adaptogens, the ashwagandhas, the rhodiolas, we're building that endurance. But if something stressful just happened and my nervous system is having an overactive response or a hypervigilant response, we need to be working on the nervous system. So nervine herbs work on the nervous system. Lavender is another one. Lemon balm, lavender, Can't think off the top of my head. I feel like lime, but I could be wrong. Let's put that aside. So I love this one. However, this is not a long-term supplement. I would not recommend this long-term for anybody. I'm definitely taking it for a period of time, I would say a month, specifically because lemon balm is going to affect the thyroid long-term. Not in everybody, but if you're somebody that typically gears more towards hypothyroid, lemon balm is so calming. It can actually slow down the metabolism. We don't want that long-term. Short-term purposes, you have nothing to worry about. But that's why this is kind of like an acute one, right? It's not something that we want to take for too long. We're not building a muscle. We're not teaching the brain anything. We're just shutting down that hyperactive response, especially if you've got like a lot of shit that's going on under the surface. So those are all my recommendations. Very quickly, just gonna do a recap. From a lifestyle perspective, we've got daily movement, daily meditation, letting go of people and situations that are clear repeat offenders for my stress system. We are listening to music. We are praying. Who would have thought? And like keeping note around people that we are people pleasing, even if it's like a positive relationship, right? We just wanna limit exposure. From a supplement perspective, I'm doing Plant of Life Digest. I'm doing a magnesium threonate, but I'm also doing Elements Electrolytes. My favorite flavor is the dark chocolate. I actually drink it like a hot chocolate. It's like a salty hot chocolate. It's fucking insane. But I also really like the mango chili. It's spicy. It's fun. Anyways, so magnesium threonate plus the element. E-manganese by Standard Process, work with a practitioner, and then the Suzu Stress Relief Gummies, and they've got L-theanine, GABA, and lemon balm. Okay, my friends, I hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you liked it, don't forget to like and subscribe. It helps the episode grow. Share it with somebody who needs it. Tag me when you're listening to it. I always retag, and I always want to know what you thought about it, what questions you had. And I'll see you back on another episode of the Mindful Method podcast. Love you. Bye.